Ah, the Transfiguration. What a truly astounding set of events during this brief encounter atop Mount Tabor. But what is the purpose, we might wonder? Why does Jesus lead Peter, James, and John up there? And why is it one of the key events of his life? Some of us were recently right there, just a couple weeks ago, on Mount Tabor, pondering these and many other questions. Quite an amazing place it truly is. Truly holy ground. Back to our passage, though. Perhaps the most immediate purpose of the Transfiguration is to give hope and set the much bigger picture for his inner circle of friends, Peter, James, and John. Shortly before this, he predicted his passion for the first time. And the disciples, I think we can safely say, didn't respond very well. We only get the response of Peter, but he kind of speaks for the others. And this is, that famous discourse where Jesus tries to, Peter tries to dissuade Jesus. Oh, come on, Jesus, you're not going to be killed and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. It's that famous discourse. Now, when Jesus predicted his passion, he also predicted his resurrection, but that went way over their heads, just, even farther above their heads than the passion. So now he's putting things in proper context for Peter, James, and John to show them where all this is ultimately leading to. The whole idea of the passion is very shocking to the disciples, understandably. Understandably, they're hoping for a political warrior Messiah, as are most of the Jews. Therefore, Christ gives them a glimpse of his glorious divinity to temper that notion of his crucified humanity. Then Moses and Elijah appear and converse with Jesus. They represent the law on one hand, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah. So these are the greatest heroes of the Jews, right? And here they are with Jesus, the current hero of the disciples. And what might they be conversing about? Well, with a little help from Luke, we know that they're talking about his exodus from this world to the next, to heaven. They're talking about this exodus that he will accomplish in Jerusalem. Yes, the great exodus of the Old Testament will soon be brought to its final fulfillment. Great victory. And this is the greatest event for the Jews. They look back to the Passover, and that's the biggest deal for them. So Jesus is going to take it to its final fulfillment, final victory. So wow, all this is going on in just an instant. Yet, there is still more. In his stunned amazement, Peter offers to build 3 tents. But meanwhile, the bright cloud overshadows them. Remember when the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary? There's all kinds of symbolism going on here. So the bright cloud overshadows them, and then the Father's voice booms, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Yes, even listen to him when he gives you the tough stuff, right? The things that are hard for us to accept, including his prediction of the passion. Listen to him. Of course, the disciples fall down at this point in fear, but Jesus comes over, touches them. He makes physical contact with them and says, "Rise and do not be afraid." No need for fear here. Not at all. And then we heard they saw no one else but Jesus alone. These beautiful words. So they see Jesus alone, now in his humanity. They saw him in his glorious divinity. Now they see him and only him in his humanity. One of my favorite lines in the whole gospel. They now saw no one else but Jesus alone. So that's perhaps the most immediate purpose of the Transfiguration. But a second key purpose is for us to learn how to let the Lord transfigure our hearts and lead us on that wonderful exodus with him. He wants to show himself more and more to us. And the more our hearts are transfigured, the more clearly we can see him as he truly is. And then embrace him as he truly is. Not as we want him to be, but as he truly is. And the Eucharist is the primary engine for this transfiguration. This heaven meets earth, the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ all going on all at once. It's the primary way where the Lord reveals himself to us and transfigures our hearts so that we can see him, so that we can take in this revelation. And throughout this revelation and transfiguration, Christ wants us to know that we can listen to him without any fear, without any doubt, but with complete trust. Complete trust. And he says, there's nothing to fear. Rise. Nothing to fear. He wants us to know that he is always looking out for our best interest and will never, never lead us astray. He's going to challenge us, no doubt, but he's never going to lead us astray. In short, he wants us to realize that he is all we need. That beautiful line, all they saw was Jesus alone. He is all we need. All these other things that are going on, okay, that's great. Sometimes we get glimpses of what it's going to be like in heaven, the glory, but we can't handle it all now. For now, he is all we need. Therefore, friends, let us live this way, letting go of the earthly things we cling to and instead clinging to him so that he can lead us to freedom. And now, brothers and sisters, we're ready to better understand and live out Paul's guidance in today's second reading. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel, he says, with the strength that comes from God. There's two key pieces there in that phrase. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel, and we gulp because we don't like hardship, with the strength that comes from God. That's crucial. Crucial. This strength comes from God, not from us. We simply can't do it on our own. We try, oftentimes, don't we? And we get in trouble, we get in sin, we wander off. We can't do it on our own. Yes, as Paul notes, God saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. That's the victory of the cross, right? Ultimately, the resurrection. Paul's equating both. James, Peter, and John couldn't see it in the moment on Mount Tabor, but Paul gets it. So the Lord is calling each of us to greatness, friends, not to mediocrity or comfort. But this will indeed include hardship, as it did for Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I'm borrowing a phrase from Hebrews, from the author of Hebrews. He's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, so we follow in his footsteps. Otherwise, our lives languish, since they are shaped only by our own works and not by his amazing grace. And it's really tragic when that happens. In Lent, we voluntarily take on various forms of hardship, not as punishment, but in an effort to rely more on the Lord, to grow deeper and deeper in relationship with him, to welcome his grace more wholeheartedly. Brothers and sisters, the message is really quite simple today, pretty clear. And really every day for that matter, but it's very clear in the scriptures today. All you need is Jesus. It's all you need. It's not complicated. Not easy either, but it's not complicated. He is your everything. He is your guiding light. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So listen to him. Don't run from him or ignore him when you are challenged or don't understand. Instead, keep your eyes and ears focused intently on him and allow him to transfigure you more and more each day. Whatever darkness you have in your life right now, might be sickness, might be some terrible sin that you're struggling with. It could be, you know, a number of different things. It could be doubt. You could be having doubts about your faith. Is Christ really going to answer in a struggle? It could be heartache. It could be woundedness that you have recently or from the past. number of other things. Whatever darkness you have in your life now, bring it straight to Him. Bring it straight to Him. Lent, in a very particular and powerful way, He wants to take care of this. The divine physician, the divine healer. He can handle whatever it is you have in your life. You can't. Neither can I. That's precisely why He went to the cross. For you. As Paul said, He saved us. Allow Him to save you. Allow Him to do it. Give Him permission. He wants to show you His goodness, His tenderness, His mercy, and yes, His glory. This is where He wants you to live. Right there. Not in darkness, but in His light and glory. All you have to do is just say yes.